Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast here on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. Joining us for the conversation this week, glad to welcome back from the UBS U.S. Governmental Affairs Office, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor, Shane Lieberman. Shane, thank you for dropping by on this Thursday afternoon. Great to be back on the mic with you today.
Yes, thank you, Dan. It's good to be back with you as well.
So, Shane, for this week, quite a few geopolitical topics to cover for our listeners, our clients, perhaps beginning with the G7 summit. Now, France hosted the G7 this week, where everything from geopolitics to technology to energy, among many other topics, were discussed. What did you take away from this week's summit?
Yeah, no, you're right. It was such a far-ranging summit. I think my first takeaway was a simple one, which was President Trump stayed for the entire summit versus last year's summit in Canada. President Trump left early. So I think that's positive from the perspective of the G7 being a little bit closer to where as opposed to last year. And you saw, Trump kind of getting back in alignment with other G7 countries in their support for Ukraine, which was welcome news to many of the other G7 countries. They felt like, their kind of bonds are coming back together and making the G7 a stronger body, if you will. But you're right. They touched upon AI, energy. Interestingly, on energy, they're looking for Canada to play a bigger role in the energy for global consumption, so that we're not as reliant on the Strait of Hormuz anymore, and hopefully averting any other shutdown by Iran in the Straits. So a number of topics. Iran was obviously a hot one, but it was a jam-packed schedule, and I think at the end of the day, all those who participated probably felt a lot better than last year's G7 summit.
So, Shane, among the geopolitical topics covered, and of course, no shortage of them, you pointed this out, want to follow up on the Russia-Ukraine war. It was indeed interesting how leaders appeared to really bring the conflict back in the focus of President Trump. Any progress to speak of that materialized this past week?
Yeah, there was a joint statement from leaders, and the joint statement really showed President Trump and the U.S. Kind of joining, coming back to the fold. And President Trump's language was pretty interesting during some of his comments, when he noted that Moscow was really on the offensive in this conflict, essentially placing a little bit more blame on them, where he used to try and, run down the middle of that one. I think it's very interesting that, we're seeing news reports from this morning that there was a major drone attack on Moscow by Ukraine. And this appears to have gone after a key important refinery, very important to Moscow as a city. So, you kind of see a real sustained effort to put more pressure on Putin to try and, help him reach the conclusion that this war is worth ending. I think the death toll on especially Russia's side, which President Trump pointed to, is really going to take a long-term impact on Russia and its future and its economy, quite frankly. So, I think there was progress made, but that progress does not mean that the conflict is going to end, in the coming days by any means.
Yeah, it's hard to believe this conflict has been going on for several years now, though interesting to see these renewed efforts to bring it to an end by these G7 leaders. We'll see what comes from that. I do want to follow up on the U.S.-Iran war, which we have seen in the past 24 hours a signing of a Memorandum of Understanding, or an MOU. This was signed by President Trump as well as the President of Iran. They were not at the same location when they signed this MOU, but it is intended to implement a 60-day ceasefire. There's been much speculation about the terms of this memorandum of understanding, along with skepticism as to whether it will hold. What do we know today, Shane, in terms of what this MOU consists of, and what's the confidence level of this MOU holding up?
Yeah, that's a great question, because this MOU is really kind of a 14-point plan for the next phase, if you will, which is the 60-day period. And it leaves a lot of details unanswered, because during the 60-day period, you know, the sides will negotiate further details. And so, you know, we could reach the end of that 60 days and the sides, Iran and the U.S., are too far apart and, you know, are unable to move forward, and maybe there is another round of attacks. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, this agreement can be, that 60-day period can be extended if they still have not reached an agreement. So I think what you're seeing, though, with this agreement is, you know, the opening of the Strait of Hormuz for now, the immediate cessation of operations on all fronts, including in Lebanon. There's some really interesting language about the $300 billion reconstruction plan for Iran. So, you know, it's being posed as it won't be, you know, directly paid essentially by U.S. taxpayers, but, you know, regional and investment in the country. So it's going to be very interesting to see the final details on that piece. Additionally, you know, Iran is going to reaffirm that it shall not procure or develop a nuclear weapon. But there are a lot of interesting questions that I think in the 60-day period about, you know, what happens to any nuclear material that is stockpiled in Iran, you know, that enriched material that is very important for the U.S. to, you know, see no longer in the hands of Iran. So, you know, to your point, this is progress, but this 60-day period is going to be worth following. I'm a little skeptical that everything can be ironed out in 60 days, and I think we'll probably have an extension of that period. But, you know, maybe they're able to work, you know, furiously over the next 60 days and reach a final agreement. We'll see what happens, but I'm a little skeptical.
A lot of moving parts. The MOU sounds very complex and very conditional, so it will be interesting to see how these next 60 days or so play out indeed. Shane, thank you again for dropping by the podcast to keep our listeners informed on these important topics. A lot to follow up on next week. In the meantime, have a nice Father's Day weekend, and looking forward to our next conversation.
Great, Dan. Thank you for having me. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Shane. Again, today we've been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor from Governmental Affairs US here at UBS. And I want to point out, as always, to you, our listeners, you can now locate the latest edition of the Washington Weekly publication on ubs.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights, at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG, member FINRA SIPC.